أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فبما نقضهم ميثاقهم وكفرهم بآيات الله وقتلهم الأنبياء بغير حق وقولهم قلوبنا غلف بل طبع الله عليها بكفرهم فلا يؤمنون إلا قليلا وبكفرهم وقولهم على مريم بهتانا عظيما وقولهم إنا قتلنا المسيح عيسى ابن مريم رسول الله وما قتلوه وما صلبوه ولكن شبه لهم وإن الذين اختلفوا فيه لفي شك منه ما لهم به من علم إلا اتباع الظن وما قتلوه يقينا بل رفعه الله إليه وكان الله عزيزا حكيما وإن من أهل الكتاب إلا ليؤمنن به قبل موته ويوم القيامة يكون عليهم شهيدا فبظلم من الذين هادوا حرمنا عليهم طيبات أحلت لهم وبصدهم عن سبيل الله كثيرا وأخذهم الربا وقد نهوا عنه وأكلهم أموال الناس بالباطل وأعتدنا للكافرين منهم عذابا أليما لكن الراسخون في العلم منهم والمؤمنون يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك والمقيمين الصلاة والمؤتون الزكاة والمؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر أولئك سنؤتيهم أجرا عظيما. Inshallah, we're going to be starting today from verse 155 of Surah An-Nisa. And the subject, the discussion that started last week was the mistakes that the Israelites, the Bani Israel, made, which caused them to be cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And right at the end of today's lesson, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also makes an exception from those people who are condemned and cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How does a person not become condemned? How does a person not become cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That is mentioned in the verses at the end. But initially, the verses are talking about the subject which was started last week, the mistakes that were made by the Israelites during the time of Musa alayhi salam, and after Musa alayhi salam, those were the mistakes that are going to be discussed today. Last week, the things that were done during the time of Musa alayhi salam, those mistakes. Today, those mistakes that were made after the time of Musa alayhi salam, during the time of Isa alayhi salam, and thereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَبِمَا نَقْضِهِمْ مِيثَاقَهُمْ. Because of the fact that they broke their promise. What was their promise? The promise was that whenever any prophet comes after Musa alayhi salam, after Isa alayhi salam, any prophet that comes, you are going to observe what he says, you're going to be obedient to what he says, you're going to follow in his footsteps, and you are going to listen to him. That was the mithaq, that was the covenant that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made with the Bani Israel. And as long as they continued to do that, then the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was with them that they would be held in high esteem, or they would be loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But because they broke that promise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cursed them and they fell from the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first thing, فَبِمَا نَقْضِهِمْ مِيثَاقَهُمْ. Secondly, وَكُفْرِهِمْ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ. The fact that they rejected the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the fact that first Isa alayhi salatu wasalam came to them and they rejected Isa alayhi salam. And after that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam came to them and they rejected him. Okay, and both of them brought their miracles and so on, and they continued to reject. So وَكُفْرِهِمْ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَقَتْلِهِمُ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍّ. And the fact that they killed many Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam without any right. They killed Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam without any right. The common understanding is that when you have too much of a good thing, then you tend to take it for granted. And the fact was that the Bani Israel, they had many hundreds of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam that came to them. And because of this constant coming of the prophets, they continued to disrespect them, and they even killed many of them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, because of the fact that they killed Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam without any right. So what is being listed, what are the things being mentioned here, are the reasons that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cursed them. Okay, first of all, breaking their promise and rejecting the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, killing the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam without any right. وَقَوْلِهِمْ قُلُوبُنَا غُلْفٌ, and the fact that they said, our hearts are covered, our hearts are sealed. And what they were trying to say was that we have enough knowledge within us, we don't need any more knowledge. Our hearts have enough knowowledge given to us by our Prophet Musa alayhi salam, we don't need anything else. And the same thing was said by the Quraysh. قَالُوا قُلُوبُنَا فِي أَكِنَّةٍ مِمَّا تَدْعُونَ إِلَيْهِ, that our hearts are covered from what you are inviting us towards. The reasoning was the same, we know everything. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that their hearts are not covered. بَلْ طَبَعَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهَا بِكُفْرِهِمْ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the rejection and the kufr a tabi'i thing, a natural thing for them, because of their kufr, because of all the mistakes they made, it became kind of natural for them to deny anything that was said to them, any advice that was given to them, any knowledge that was given to them, any guidance that was given to them. It would became very easy for them to deny it. So بَلْطَبَعَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهَا بِكُفْرِهِمْ فَلَا يُؤْمِنُونَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا, so very few of the Israelites, they became Muslim and they accepted Iman. Many, very few of them, because of this tabi'i thing, that is, their hearts are sealed and their hearts do not accept the goodness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we've mentioned before that what it means, that people, if they want guidance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them guidance. But if they don't want, then they will not get that guidance. Okay, and it continues. What are the other reasons for their being cursed? وَبِكُفْرِهِمْ وَقَوْلِهِمْ عَلَىٰ مَرْيَمَ بُهْتَانًا عَظِيمًا, and because of their kufr, and because of, kufr can mean, the real literal meaning of kufr is what? To hide something. And that's why the farmers in Arabic are also called kuffar. Okay, we generally mean kuffar to mean disbelievers. But why are kuffar called kuffar? Why is a kafir called a kafir? Because he hides the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to him. And the farmers are called kuffar because they take the seeds, they dig up the ground, and they hide the seeds underneath the ground. That's why they're called kuffar. Okay? So, وَبِكُفْرِهِمْ, because of their kufr, because of they hid the reality of what they knew about Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, وَقَوْلِهِمْ عَلَىٰ مَرْيَمْ, and because of what they said about Maryam, بُهْتَانًا عَظِيمًا, a huge accusation. And what was the accusation they made? When Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam brought Isa to the people, they started, na'udhu billah, accusing her of doing something immoral. They accused her of committing zina. And they said that this child is illegitimate, a child which is born without a father, out of wedlock. Where did you get this child from? So they made these accusations against Maryam after she brought Isa alayhi salatu wasalam to them. Even though Isa alayhi salatu wasalam spoke in the cradle and said, قَالَ إِنِّي Abdullah, as mentioned in Surah Maryam, but this was apparently not enough for them. So this was another reason that they were cursed, because of this accusation that they made against Maryam. وَقَوْلِهِمْ إِنَّا قَتَلْنَا الْمَسِيحَ عِيسَى ابْنَ مَرْيَمَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, and because of their claim that we killed Masih, the Messiah, Isa ibn Maryam. Al-Masih, the word Masih, is actually from the word Masah in Arabic. We make Masah in our wudu. What do? We take a wet hand and we rub it over our heads. That's called Masah. Okay? So Masih is called Masih because of the fact that he had the ability through the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the miracle given to him, that he could, by touching somebody, he could cure them of illnesses. So that's why he is called Masih. And also, the Masih Dajjal, why is Al-Masih Dajjal called Al-Masih? The Dajjal that is going to come before the Day of Judgment. His, the word Masih, in that case, means Mamsuh. Mamsuh means that obliterated, because of one of his eyes are obliterated, it's not there, that's why he's called Masih. So Al-Masih in that sense, it means disfigured. Okay, but in this sense, it means the one who does masah on something and cures it. And also, the Messiah, according to how the Christians view it, it means the anointed one, the one who has oil on his head. And that can also, according to Arabic linguistics, it can be a proper meaning too. To have something rubbed over yourself, that can also be a correct meaning. So they said, وَقَوْلِهِمْ, because they said, what was another reason for them being cursed? That they said, إِنَّا قَتَلْنَا الْمَسِيحَ عِيسَى بْنَ مَرْيَمَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. We killed, نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ, the Masih, Isa, the son of Mary, the Prophet of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ وَمَا صَلَبُوهُ وَلَكِنْ شُبِّحَ لَهُمْ. They didn't kill him, they didn't crucify him, but somebody was made to look like him. Or shubbiha means that the word tashbih, it means similarity. And they were put into doubt. This is another good meaning. That they were put into doubt. Okay, so two interpretations of this, what actually happened to Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. This is something that we all should be aware of. According to Islamic traditions, what is the correct thing? Because we have many Christian co-workers and neighbors and so on, they ask us, what is our belief about Isa alayhi salatu wasalam? We have to know what the Quran says. So there are two interpretations of what happened. One interpretation is that when it emerged to Isa alayhi salatu wasalam that people are coming to get him, then he asked his disciples, the ones that were around him, who is willing to take my place? And one sahabi, he stood up and he said, I'm willing to take your place. So again he asked. So the same sahabi stood up. Again he asked, the same sahabi stood up. Three times the sahaba of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam are known as Hawariyun. So the same sahabi stood up. So Isa alayhi salatu wasalam told him that, okay, you can take my place. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed the image, the face of this person to be like Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. The Jews came and took him and crucified him. Okay, so this is one interpretation. The second interpretation is that the person that actually went into the house to look for him, you know, he went in and his face was changed. I mean, this was from the people that went to grab him and take him. He's one of their own men. Their faces changed, that person's face changed into Isa alayhi salam's, and he was the one that was crucified. So these are the two famous interpretations as to what happened with Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Okay, walakin shubbiha lahum. Wa inna alladhina ikhtalafu fihi lafi shakkin minhu. The people that are disputing about him, they are in doubt about him. What does this mean? It is mentioned that after he was crucified, this person, whoever was crucified, when they took him down, the people said that this person, his face looks like Isa alayhi salam, but his body is different. Because Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, he had this kind of a body. He was thinner than this, or he was, you know, heavier than this, whatever his condition may have been. So they started having doubts as to whether it was truly Isa alayhi salatu wasalam or not. So Allah says, وَإِنَّ الَّذِينَ اخْتَلَفُوا فِيهِ لَفِي شَكٍّ مِّنْ. The people that are arguing amongst themselves, they are in doubt about him. Or this can mean that even to this day, people have arguments about it, or they have ikhtilaf about it. They are in doubts about whether Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was actually crucified. مَا لَهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ عِلْمٍ إِلَّا اتِّبَاعَ الظَّنِّ. They don't have knowledge except following their dhann, except following their doubts, except following conjectures. There is no real solid proof as to whether Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was killed or not, or crucified or not. And the fact, you know, even amongst the Christian people, when they say that Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was on the cross, he said, "My Lord, why have you forsaken me?" This kind, it seems kind of strange coming for a person who supposedly is supposed to die on the cross for the sins of humanity. He's supposed to be willing to do that. So why Isa alayhi salam on the cross is saying, "Oh Lord, why have you forsaken me? Why have you let me go? Why have you let this happen to me?" Okay, so if it was truly Isa alayhi salam, then he would not have uttered such words. Okay, so مَا لَهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ عِلْمٍ. They don't have knowledge about this except following the dhan and whatever doubts that they have in their mind. وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ يَقِينًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, certainly they did not kill him. They certainly did not kill him. What actually happened to him? ضَرَّفَعَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He lifted him up. He took him up. And وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَزِيزًا حَكِيمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is almighty and He is wise. So Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was lifted up, and he will return before the day of judgment. Okay, and this is what is the next verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِمْ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ إِلَّا لَيُؤْمِنَنَّ بِهِ قَبْلَ مَوْتِهِ. There won't be any of the people of the book, except most certainly they will have iman on him before he dies. Okay, so مَوْتِهِ, it has been interpreted in two ways. مَوْتِهِ, before who dies? Before the person himself dies, the Jew or the Christian, before he dies. One opinion is that when a person is about to die, the reality of who Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was is going to be shown to that person. But then he's going to try to have iman, but then that iman is not going to be acceptable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like Fir'aun, when he's about to be destroyed, and he said, "I have iman in Musa alayhi salam," and that iman was not accepted. Similarly, the Jews and the Christians, one interpretation is that they are going to be shown the reality of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, and they're going to try to have iman, but then it's not going to be acceptable from them. And another interpretation is that referring to the fact that Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will come back. He will live a natural life, and then he's going to die a natural death. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when that happens, then all of the people of the book, the Jews and the Christians, they will all have iman in the reality of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. The reality is that when he comes, he's going to actually tell people to follow in the footsteps of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam, and he himself is going to follow in the footsteps of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam. So وَإِمْ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ إِلَّا لَيُؤْمِنَنَّ بِهِ قَبْلَ مَوْتِهِ. Before Isa alayhi salatu wasalam actually dies, when he comes back into this world and he lives a normal life and he dies a natural death, all of the people of the book that see him at the time, they will have iman. And those people that do not, they will be killed. Now Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, you know, the famous riwayat of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he will return, he will break the cross and he will kill the pig. What does that mean? You know, does it mean that he's going to go around breaking every single cross? My understanding of this is that Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, when it says, the hadith says that he's going to break the cross, it means that he's going to break the myth of the cross. He's going to break the story of the cross that is attributed about him, that he was the one that was, he was crucified. He's going to break that story. He's going to tell the people, no, that did not happen. And he's going to kill the pig. What does that mean? That the Christians who changed the religion after him, and they changed his teachings, where he taught that they are not supposed to be consuming pork, they changed the teachings. He's going to set them straight and tell them that you are not supposed to be following these teachings. I taught you not to eat pork. You are supposed to not eat pork. Okay? And then of course we know that he's going to come and he's going to kill the Dajjal. And it's going to happen where? In Palestine, in Lud. It's a place which is just outside of Tel Aviv. Babul Lud. Okay, that's where Isa alayhi salatu wasalam is going to come, and that's where the Dajjal is going to be killed. Okay, so وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ يَقِينًا. He was not killed, he's going to come back. But when he does come back, all of the people of the book, they will have iman on him. Also, there's another verse in the Quran وَإِنَّهُ لَعِلْمٌ لِلسَّاعَةِ فَلَا تَمْتَرُنَّ بِهَا وَاتَّبِعُونَ. There's a verse in the Quran that he, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, he is an ilm, he is a knowledge of the Day of Judgment, or he is a sign of the Day of Judgment. Don't have doubt in him and follow me. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is instructing Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to tell the people that the fact that I am telling you this information, follow me, and Isa alayhi salatu wasalam is going to return. And one of those qira'ah of that verse is وَإِنَّهُ لَعَلَمٌ لِلسَّاعَةِ. He is one of the alam. Alam means a big sign of the Day of Judgment. So don't have doubt in it. So from these verses and from these ahadith, you know, any person who denies that Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will return, then his iman is in doubt. It is possible that he is going out of iman and he is stepping into kufr if he denies the fact that Isa alayhi salatu wasalam is going to return. So it is a reality, it will happen, we should have iman in it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يَكُونُ عَلَيْهِ شَهِيدًا. And on the Day of Judgment, he will be a witness against them, against the people who disobeyed him and who did not believe in him. So the verse continues again, that why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cursed the Israelites. فَبِظُلْمٍ مِّنَ الَّذِينَ هَادُوا. Because of the wrong that they undertook, because of the misdeeds that they did, حَرَّمْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ طَيِّبَاتٍ أُحِلَّتْ لَهُمْ. We made haram upon them the good things that were actually halal for them. Okay, so the Jewish tradition of kosher is actually much more stricter. If you follow the orthodox methodology of the Jews, it is much, much more stricter than even halal. Okay, so one of the rules is that the fat, it cannot be mixed with the meat. Okay, the fat has to be completely separated from the meat. Okay, also the blood has to be actually completely drained from the meat, to a degree that when the meat is cut up, the meat is actually put into salt, and the salt is pulls out all the rest of the remainder of the blood. Okay, so basically this is a hardship that the Jews were given as a punishment by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, now the things that were made haram for us, this ummah, are those things which are harmful for us. As a mercy for us, they're made haram. But the things that were made haram for the Israelites were because of the misdeeds that they did, because of the mistakes that they made, as a source of punishment for them, so that life would become difficult for them. Okay, so they have these dietary laws. Another dietary law, I don't know where the source of that is, that they cannot mix dairy products and they cannot mix meat at the same time. They cannot eat. So there has to be like an hour's difference or something like that. If you eat a meat product, you cannot eat anything dairy for another hour or so. Now the strange thing is, one of the very famous things that are eaten in Palestine is something which is called mansaf. Who knows what mansaf is? Everybody knows what mansaf is. How is that made? It's meat basically boiled in milk. So it's kind of like, you know, completely opposite to the Jewish law. Yogurt and meat mixed, right? Boiled in yogurt, okay? That's what it is. So some people like it, some people don't. I think it's probably depends on how it's made. If you make it good, it tastes good. If you don't, then it's, you know, people who eat spicy food, they might not like it. But in any case, the Jewish rule is that you cannot mix the meat and the dairy products. So that's why you will find like bakery products, if it has any dairy product in it, it will say on it, kosher dairy. Okay? What that means is that this product, it contains milk. After eating this product, don't eat meat for another hour or so. That's what it means. Okay, so that's for your information. So Allah says, حَرَّمْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ طَيِّبَاتٍ أُحِلَّتْ لَهُمْ. We made haram the good things that were actually halal for them as a punishment for them. وَبِصَدِّهِمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ كَثِيرًا. And because of the fact that they prevented people from going on the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a lot. Meaning people who wanted guidance, they used to prevent them from following the guidance. The next one, and this is very crucial in this day and age, what's going on with the economy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, why were they cursed? وَأَخْذِهِمُ الرِّبَى وَقَذْنُهُ عَنْهُ. The fact that they took riba, interest, usury, and the fact was that they were forbidden from doing that. They were not supposed to take riba. If you look in the book of Exodus, if you look in the book of Leviticus, if you look in the book of Deuteronomy, all three of them have verses indicating that they're not supposed to be taking interest on loans. But the interpretation according to them is that we don't take interest from Jews, but we take interest from non-Jews. And the sad thing is, historically speaking, throughout history, this has been a very, critical part, a cornerstone of the things that the Jews have used as a means of earning is interest. Now, in the Middle Ages in England, there were actually massacres that took place in the 12th century, 13th century, before the Crusades. The Crusaders, before they left to come to the Holy Land, they actually rounded up Jews and massacred them, or they told them either you become Christian or you're going to be massacred. So many of them converted, many of them they committed suicide. These are all historic events that took place. But the source of the actual massacres taking place, the reason behind it was that they used to give loans on very, very high interest rates, on an interest rate of 200%, 250%. You might think that this is something unimaginable in this day and age, but you know when you have these store cars like Macy's and stuff, they try to persuade you to sign up for the card. So I signed up for it once. So then you purchase things and the statement comes. When I look at the statement, this is like 2-3 months ago, I looked at the statement and said, if you do not make a payment, you're going to have a charge of $5 and your interest rate will be 500%+. I was shocked. 500% interest rate. So this is basically the blood sucking that people, have to become victims of when people have no remorse and they don't have any kind of compassion for people that they are lending money to, that when they want the money back, they multiply it into hundreds of percent and they want it back like that. So this is something which is still prevalent in this day and age. It's not something that's gone away. Okay, so people who use the fact that somebody needs money to take advantage of them. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَخْذِهِمُ الرِّبَى وَقَدْنُهُ عَنْهُ. The fact that they took interest and they have been forbidden from doing so. وَأَكْلِهِمْ أَمْوَالَ النَّاسِ بِالْبَاطِلِ. And the fact that they consumed the wealth of people in wrong ways. So taking people's wealth in haram ways, in illicit ways, because of that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cursed them. وَأَعْتَدْنَا لِلْكَافِرِينَ مِنْهُمْ عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we prepared for the disbelievers from them a very painful punishment. Okay, but now remember this very important note, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not stereotype a people just because of who they are, of what they are. Just because a person is a Jew, you condemn him. This is not right. Not everybody is the same. Just like we as Muslims, we do not want to be labeled as terrorists. Okay, just because we are Muslims, just because some person or some a minute percentage of people, they do wrong things in the name of Islam, do all Muslims want to be labeled as terrorists? No. Similarly, the Quran, it does not label all Jews as people who are cursed. Okay, so right after mentioning all of the reasons that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cursed the people that were cursed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He makes an exception. He said, not everybody is the same. Even in this Palestine crisis, what is happening? That there are people who are doing what they're doing, and they're oppressing the people of Palestine, but there are amongst the people of Israel and the people of the Jews, Orthodox Jews, that are even against the formation of the country of Israel. There are Orthodox Jews who are against Israel, saying that the Bani Israel, the Jews, have been condemned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they're not supposed to have a homeland. Because of all the things that we've mentioned, even the Orthodox Jews, some of the Orthodox Jews believe in that. Okay, so not all of them are the same. And Allah says here, لكن الراسخون في العلم. As for those people, but for those people who are immersed in knowledge, they are steadfast in knowledge. منهم, from amongst them. والمؤمنون, and those people who have iman. يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك. They have iman on what was revealed to you, O Prophet of Allah. وما أنزل من قبلك, and also have iman on what was revealed on the people before you. والمقيمين الصلاة, and those people that establish the salat. والمؤتون الزكاة, and the people that give the zakat. والمؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر, and the people that have iman in Allah and the last day. أولئك سنؤتيهم أجرا عظيما. For those people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we're going to give them a huge reward. So look at that exception. And there were people from amongst the Jews who became Muslim in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Usayd ibn Hudayr, Thalaba radiallahu anhu, Abdullah ibn Salam. These people, they became, you know, pioneers. They became people who are included amongst these people. And of course, even in before Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those people that were following the correct religion, following the correct teachings, they are all included in this. Okay, so we as Muslims should not basically stereotype all the Jews are like this. It's incorrect for us to do so. Just like we do not want to be labeled in a certain way, we should not label any person or any group in a certain way just because of what amid the mistakes that a few of them have done. Okay, so the Quran basically makes that exception for us, and of course we have to follow the Quran in every aspect. And with that, inshallah, we finish, and we'll continue with this, inshallah, next week. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand and practice what has been said.